So how would they receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon epi them? And why would they need this power? To be witnesses unto the ends of the earth. Folks, to reject more of the Holy Spirit is to chop our own legs out from under us in reaching the world for Christ. What if the disciples had refused it? Thank heavens they did not say, "No, Jesus, thanks. We already received the Holy Spirit, remember?" I shudder at the thought of how I missed this biblical gift for 17 years. I hope you will not miss it another day. Look at these other places in Scripture where the disciples experienced epi repeatedly. Among themselves, in Acts 2, 1-13, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. With the Samaritans, in Acts 8, 12-19, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. With Paul, in Acts 9:17, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." With Cornelius, in Acts 10:45 and 46, "The gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." And with the Ephesians, in Acts 19:6, "When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied." As for me, I was a 27-year-old deacon's wife, hungry for something more in God. I did not even know what to call it, but when I saw these scriptures, I asked God for spirit baptism. I waited for some jarring encounter, but felt nothing, and I was not going to fabricate or force my heavenly language. Then, after drifting off to sleep one night, I clearly heard a phrase in a dream, a few syllables in what sounded like another language. My eyes shot wide open, and I submitted to the natural urge to repeat the phrase. I wondered if God was baby-stepping me through this the way a father would teach his child her first words. As soon as I said the phrase, though, I immediately repented. I remembered that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 that tongues must be interpreted, and I did not have an interpretation. God must have giggled at my self-imposed legalism, but he knew my heart. And so when I prayed 1 Corinthians 14:13, "Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret," God gave me an interpretation. And this is exactly what I heard him say. "Pray for your foot." Really, God? Pray for my foot? That's it? It was, to say the least, anticlimactic. But then Psalm 91:11-12 came to mind. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Suddenly I got it. I was praying for my safety. I didn't know the words to pray. My mind was unfruitful, as we discussed in Pray Tell. So I knew this must be what praying in the Spirit was for. Therefore, I just kept repeating that same little phrase over and over. I was like the lady arriving in a foreign country, only knowing one sentence in its language and hoping somebody was going to help me find food. I drifted off to sleep, and it happened again. I heard the same exact phrase, then jolted awake. So once again, I prayed the phrase, and once again, I prayed for my protection using Psalm 91:11-12. That's all I knew to do. It turned out to be enough. That very week, with my husband out of town and all of our kids in the car with me, I had total brake failure. As I pumped the brake with my foot repeatedly with no result, the prayers for my foot flashed through my mind.